Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you spend much time thanking the Lord? You spend more time thanking the Lord than you do complaining? Hallelujah. You know, you get more going for you on thanking the Lord than you do on complaining about something. Some people treat God like He's the complaint department at the department store. And I got anything goes wrong, I come to you and complain about it. And want you to fix it. And get all irritable and out of sorts because you don't do it as fast as I think you ought to. You know, I've had a lot of things over the past year that I didn't particularly like. But you know, God's always faithful. In the bulletin this morning, I put the words to this song, Solid Rock. And I realized one thing after looking that up with all the different, it all came from the same source, but through the years, the verses get changed. Certain wording in the things are changed. But the first line of the first verse, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope. Where's your hope? What is hope? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We have a strange definition of hope as in our everyday usage of the word than what the scripture means when it talks about hope. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you know what that implies? You got to be hoping for something. If you're not hoping for something, faith has nothing to be the substance of. And when we're talking about hope, I want you to understand that there's three things involved in the idea of hope. The word hope in the scriptures, and I know that some of you have heard me say this before because I've said it at different times during the years I've preached here. The word hope in the scriptures is such a positive, certain word that is akin to the expression and the word and the term for a woman expecting a child. She's hoping for a baby. Now, the way we use the word hope, that in our mind could almost imply, well, she's hoping for a baby as opposed to something else. I hope I have a baby. Now, think about that, the way we understand the word hope. Are you going? I hope so. But is it going to work out? I hope so. You know what we usually mean when we say hope? I hope it will. I want it to, but I don't know whether it's going to or not. And that's not the definition of hope. That's not the definition of the scriptural word hope. I hope there's a heaven. I mean, I don't know whether there is or not. I just hope there is, and I hope I get there. But we're not really using it the way the scriptures use it. Now, faith is the substance of things expected. Expected. If you think back as a family, you had children, maybe you haven't had children, but you've been around children, you've been around people that's had children. And you find out what you're expecting. Now, let me ask you this. When you get the doctor's report, and he says, you're going to be a mom, you're going to be a dad, do you start expecting? Or do you say, well, we'll just wait and see? I know the doctor said we were expecting, but, you know, I'm going to have to see it before I really know for sure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith makes something that you hope for a reality. Number one, hope confidently expects to receive. My hope is built on nothing less. I want you to understand that your hope can be built on nothing less than Jesus. You know why a lot of people don't have hope? Because they're building their hope on their performance. They're expecting to see the things turn out right when they get their performance going right. Our hope is not based upon our performance. Our hope is based upon what Jesus has done. Now, I made this statement. I can't remember where I made it. Talking to somebody in the last few days. There's a lot of people seem to be afraid of the whole concept of having too much grace. Well, you give people too much grace and they'll just live anyway. Well, that's perverted thinking. Grace does not set you free to sin. Grace sets you free from sin.
Amen. Amen.
When we understand the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that it was His work, His blood, His righteousness, all the things that He did that make it possible for us to live in victory, that make it possible for us to be overcomers. When we realize that He gave it to us because He loved us, you know the strength of our marriage, Laverne and I, 45 years this year, the strength of our marriage has not been a piece of paper that this big like that. It's in our safety box at home. It's a little bottom part of our marriage certificate. That's not the strength of our marriage. The strength of our marriage is the love we have for one another. Strength of our relationship with God is the love that He has for us. And the love that we have for Him. I don't respect her, cherish her, honor her, stay faithful to her because there's a piece of paper that says I have to. I do those things because I love her. She does those things for me because she loves me. Not just because there's a paper. How many of you know that that piece of paper doesn't stop any of those things? That piece of paper will not stop me from being unfaithful. But my love for her will. My hope, and we'll find it out before we leave this morning, my hope is in God's love for me. If God didn't love me like He loves me, I wouldn't have a chance. If God didn't love you as much as He loves you, you wouldn't have a chance. And it's not a love that's based upon performance. It's a love that's based upon no conditions. Unconditional love. That's something that humans are pretty much unable to do. But hope has to be something that you're absolutely sure about. I have a hope that when I leave this life, I go to heaven, enter into eternal life, confidence. I'm expecting it. I am expecting it. I do not live my life with the attitude, well, when I die, I'll find out. I live my life with that kind of an attitude. When I die, I might not want to find out. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, start with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Three important words there in that scripture that I just read. Faith, grace, and hope. And you don't need to lose sight of any of them. The grace of God, the power of God, the love of God extended to us, all the things that God has for us, the things that He has provided for us, every opportunity that we have in this world to receive a blessing, it comes from God's grace. How do we access that grace? By faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of our hope. Faith is the thing that gets us from hopelessness to hope. Now, fear will get you from hope to hopelessness. It's the road running the other direction. When you give in to fear, you'll go from any kind of hope you've got to a sense of hopelessness. And you can have that come and attack you at any point. And in any area. I was sharing this morning before we left the house with Cindy and talking about some of the things that I experienced last year. And I said, well, where I had the greatest battle, where I had the greatest battle to overcome a sense of hopelessness, was the first day that I went to rehab. I mean, just from the fact that I didn't have enough strength to come home. I didn't even have enough strength to get out of the bed. That first day, they took me down to physical therapy. And it took three of them. It took three people to get me out of the bed and get me into a wheelchair. Basically because I could not do anything for myself. Couldn't even raise up. Didn't have the strength in my body to get out of the bed. And you get those flashes come through there and try to tell you, this is it. This is what you got to look forward to. When they would have to come in during the night and turn me in the bed because I couldn't turn over myself. Stick a pillow in there, you know, so I wouldn't flop back over on my back. Keep me turned to one side, then come in a few hours, turn me to the other side. You know, all the adjustments. And pull me up in the bed. I don't know if you ever spent much time in the hospital bed or not, but if you haven't, or maybe over a little time you've been in there, it doesn't seem, there's gravity at the foot of that bed. There's a gravity center at the foot of that bed because it just pulls you towards the foot of the bed. And you don't have to do anything. It just works down that way. And you get down there and your feet against the foot of the bed and your legs are bent and you're laying there and you want to do something different. And you don't even have the strength to pull yourself back up in the bed. So somebody comes in and they say, will you help me get up in the bed? Okay, we will. And then they get the draw sheet and one on one side of the bed, one on the other one, and they move you back up to the top. And after a while of that, you're sitting there staring in the face. Spirit of hopelessness. That's physical situation. You can do that in the financial realm too. You know, you can be sitting and you look and you see no No way out. And you get that sense of hopelessness. Well, let me read on a little bit here. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why does hope not disappoint? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Because the agape of God, the unconditional love of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now let me tell you this, first of all, if you want to increase your hope, if you want to fire up your faith, what you need to do is work on your concept of God's love for you. If you're expecting to do something that will increase God's love for you, and until you do that something, whatever it is, God is kind of not going to pay attention to you. You're never going to have much hope. But when we get to the point where we know He loves us, if you don't know God loves you, you need to know it. And I don't mean just knowing that God loves people. For God so loved the world. You got to know He loves you. Well, I understand why Brother Jerry got what he got, because God loves him. I tell you what, I had some visitors last year. That wasn't the opinion they had. And I'm not talking about people that walked in the room either. I'm standing here this morning preaching to you because God loves me. Amen. And I try never to forget that. Does that mean that everything I do pleases God? Absolutely not. I'll say things, I'll act in such a way, I'll do stuff, that certain things happen, they come in, God doesn't like it. But He doesn't stop loving me. You'll have things that are going on in your life that God won't like, but He'll always love you. And if you listen to Him, He'll help you out of it. And if you don't listen to Him, He might give you a spanking. God's a disciplinary God, but He's not a child abuser. You can discipline your children, but there's certain things you can't get away with. Some people, the way they treat their children grow with respect for authority and love of family. Then there are others, the way they raise their children, they grow up warped, twisted, emotionally, mentally, because of the way they were punished. You know, there's a difference between punishment and discipline. Discipline is designed to correct your behavior and make you better. Punishment is retribution because of the problem you're causing the one in authority over you. I am tired of this kid acting like this. I'm going to break his neck. And they do it. Because they're not thinking about developing anything. They're thinking about making it easier on themselves. You have upset my world. And I'm going to punish you for it. Wow. I hadn't even thought that before. I said that, and all of a sudden I saw this flash in my mind of God saying, "You upset my world." Looking at Adam and Eve, our forefathers, "You upset my world. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to save you from it." Now what he said, and what he told Adam and Eve, "I'm going to make it right. It's coming back. I'm going to save you from what you've done. I'm not going to punish you for what you've done. I'm going to save you from what you've done." That's why you got to look at God. That gives you hope. Gives you hope. Romans chapter 8. Verse 22. When you got some time, go back and read from verse 18. But we're going to start in verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." In other words, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Expectation. The whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, until you're at the point where you have experienced the redemption of your body, and you have the glorified body that we have been promised, there's still something to hope for. There's still something to look forward to. "For we were saved in this hope." For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? In other words, when you got it, you don't have to hope for it anymore. You're expecting a baby. As parents, you expect it for 9 months. When you see that baby, you're not expecting anymore. It's there. But if we hope for what we do not see, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. There's that word again. We just read it a few minutes ago in Romans 5. knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope. Hope produces a vision within you of what you really expect. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. In one respect, it really doesn't matter what God has said about it. It's what you see happening to you. Do you see yourself making it? Even when we quote Scripture. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Somewhere inside of you, there's got to be a picture of you healed. You got to see yourself healed. You can't go around quoting, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." And the internal vision you have of yourself is you in your casket. I mean, you know, there are certain things that are more frightening than other things. Certain diagnoses that people have. Cancer, for instance. Diagnosed with cancer. Well, I'm trusting God to heal me. I'm going to believe God's going to heal me of cancer. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He sent His word to heal me and deliver me from my destruction. That's a good word. What do you see? What's the vision? What's the hope you have? Do you have a hope, or do you say, "Well, I'm quoting these scriptures, but I'm dying"? We've got to see ourselves receiving what it is we're believing, or what we say we're believing. When you will know that you are believing for what you are believing for, when you see that inside of you happening the way you believe it, and it doesn't change regardless of what the circumstances are around you. That's hope. Until you see God's point of view happening to you, you're not establishing hope. Doesn't make any difference. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it. We eagerly wait for it. You don't wait to see whether or not it's going to happen. You wait to see it happen. Now, if God promised it, can you count on it? His oath, His covenant, His blood. Support me in the whelming flood. What? His oath, His covenant, His blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When nothing is going the way I would like it to go, He is still my hope. Those kind of things that get us through. Let me ask you something. When we pray and we ask God for something, He's promised in the Word, Lord, I have this debt that I need to pay. I have this financial situation. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's something else. And you say, well, Lord God, You said You'd supply all my needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I'm asking You to pay this bill. Help me pay it. Make it possible. Amen. Now, do I proceed as though I believe that? Or do I start making alternate plans just in case? If I pray and ask God to take care of something, and I start making alternative plans, well, okay, well, we can do this and this and this, and I'm over here, and everything I'm doing is negating what I just prayed and asked for. But yet it's wisdom. It's wisdom, you know. It's wisdom. Just in case this don't happen. Just in case God decides this time not to answer the prayer. Just in case God decides this time not to honor His oath. Not to honor His covenant. Maybe the blood of Jesus is a little low and anemic on this one. We don't have the hope that we need. None of us do. We may have it, we're building it, but I tell you what, you need to keep on looking to it. Keep on taking care of it. Keep on building those visions of what it's supposed to be. Whatever it is. You got pain in your body? Start seeing your body without pain. How long is it going to take? I don't know. But you eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Everything. I'll tell you something else too. All you single people in here. If you've got an idea sometime in your future that you might get married, you might find somebody, trust God with it. Don't grab a first one that looks at you and smiles. Dear Lord. Now what you'll get. I mean, you know, if that's the one God's got for you, whoopee, hurrah. But don't grab one just because you think you need one. There's one. There's somebody out there. You take time to find them. Make it that way in every aspect of your life. Trust what God said. Stand in hope. Get a vision. Get a positive vision. Get a vision of what the Word of God says. Get a vision of the Word of God happening to you. Not just quoting it and hanging around people that it's working good for to see if it'll rub off on you. Start getting a picture of it working for you. Start getting a picture of it happening. You know, when I look back through last year, I don't know, you know, I had all kinds of opportunities to get pictures. And if I'd have looked at most of what was going on around me, probably be a whole lot different story here at New Life for the Nations this morning. Why did I go through it? Why did it take 8 months? Like I said earlier, I got some of the whys. I have them all sometime. And some of them I don't know. What am I supposed to do with the ones that I don't know? I'm supposed to trust them to God. It's amazing, and I can say this, it's amazing. When I was going through some of that last year, the days just drug on and on and on and on. And time just became a non-factor. Just one day was just like any other day, and it went on and on. And I look back now, last year, and looking at it from a perspective of looking back, it's like, man, it seemed like that just almost didn't happen. No consciousness of being drug out, drug out, drug out. It's like you look back and you say, man, how could so much have happened? And yet the concept that I have now is that it wasn't very much. That 20 days in rehab, oh man. When they told me I was going to be there 20 days, and I had 20 days in front of me. But I think about that now and look back, and I hardly remember those 20 days. I mean, I remember the being there, but I don't have a sense of, oh, how long those 20 days. It's like they're done. They're over. And we're moving on. We wait for it with perseverance. What do? You do what you can do until you get directions to do something else. You got to have hope. And you got to know what hope is. Hope seeing it work out right. Hope seeing the promises of God come to pass in your life. Hope is seeing His oath and His covenant working in you. There's been things that have changed that I can't explain how they changed. And you know, there's a relationship with God that you can't explain to somebody else. You can share with them your experience. But you can't share the experience. They got to have one themselves. You know. That's the hope that we have. I have my own personal experience with God that I get to experience. And you're going to have yours. And until you have it, you can't understand it. And it doesn't matter how much I can explain my experience to you, you can't feel it till you have your own.
seeking God. What He promised you. What He promised you. Whoever believes shall be saved. That's a hope. Believing. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You got hope this morning? You developing your hope? You seeing it as a reality? Got a vision of God's Word coming to pass in your life? I'm talking about applying it to the things that you're dealing with. Praise God that people that are saved got a vision and a hope for heaven. But you know and I know that you've met people that are Christians and they know they're going to heaven, but they are miserable now. Because they're not expecting much of anything except a hard time. Y'all pray for me that I'll hold on. What you're saying is, this is difficult, I'm having a hard time, and the devil's about to get me, but just pray for me that I'll hold on. That's not a very encouraging vision. Nothing's going to pull me loose. I don't have to be prayed for to hold on. I'm going through. I'm going to make it all the way. That's the hope I see. That's the hope I have. And you know, I can say this. 45 years ago, when Laverne and I got married, the vision that I saw when we said I do was forever. Didn't have any little fine print at the bottom of the page that said, if it don't work, blah, blah, blah. If this happens, da, da, da. I mean, we took those old unbelieving vows.
Yeah, and sickness and health.
And sickness and health, and, you know, and all the ones that some people don't want to say now. They want to, you know. But we took those. And the vision that I had when I said I do was a vision of I do. Forever. And I know sometimes one person may have the vision forever and the other person may say, I don't have that vision, I want out of here. And the one that has the vision of forever can't do anything to change the mind of the other one. But see, the other one didn't have to have that mindset. The other one could have seen, this is forever. But they chose not to. Always remember, you're going to get further by seeing the things that are unseen than you are by looking at the things that are seen. The unseen created the seen. And if it created it, it's in charge of it. The unseen things are the things that rule this world. That's why we look to them. We look to God. We look to His Word. He's our hope. He is our
hope. Not, I hope he works for me. But he is my hope. He is my assurance. He is my confident expectancy of all that he has promised through his oath, his covenant, and his blood. It's mine. Don't tell me it's not. I won't believe you. Understand? Let's bow our heads for a minute.